Welcome back to Casting the Net, where we seek to untangle the wide net that public health casts on our community and how it affects everyday people just like yourself. Today, we're delving into the topic of vital statistics. Vital stats serves as the bookends of human existence, that is, birth and death records. These documents not only mark the beginning and end of life, but also hold valuable insights into our family histories. Join us today as we uncover the significance and intricacies of these records, exploring how they shape our understanding of the past and the present. Today, we are thrilled to have our Director of Vital Statistics, Rosie Meza, who will help us in this conversation. Rosie actually originally hails from California, where she was born and raised. She was called to Tyler, Texas, and has called it home since 2012. She is married, a proud mother of three sons, and grandmother of to four grandchildren. With a robust career dedicated to healthcare here in Tyler, she worked for both Azalea Ortho and Texas Spine and Joint. Before joining our team here at NetHealth, she also played a crucial role in managing her husband's construction business. For the past 6 years, she has been an integral part of the Vital Statistics Department, including serving as the director for one of those years. So she's here today, and welcome to Casting the Net, Rosie.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, we're excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, this is an exciting topic because this can be somewhat a morbid topic, as some know. You know, we're talking about death. But yes, I've been with NetHealth 5 years, and Rosie is always a joy to talk to when I go to 815. We chatted up. It could be because we're both Hispanic and we have some cultural similarities, so we enjoy chatting it up. But the first time that I was introduced to Vital Stats as an intern with NetHealth, Terrence took me down to 815, gave me a little walkthrough of the room that y'all have all the records in, mm-hmm. and I was pretty taken aback. I was like, I didn't realize that, one, there was so much paper involved, so many books.
Many decades of history.
Yeah, all in that one room. So I was like, I don't know what I was thinking, but I didn't think that it looked like that. So I was, like I said, kind of taken aback. I was like, it's somebody's job to keep track of all this stuff. And I think it's something that's kind of removed from people's minds, because until you kind of see it, you're like, oh, it's actually somebody's job to keep track of every birth and every death.
Mm-hmm.
So first question, how much time is covered in the records that are held in our vital stats records?
Well, we go back, I believe deaths are 1910.
Wow. And even the update myself, because I've been a NetHealth employer for a little over 12 years now. So making sure I personally know when somebody dies, is if you die within the city limits of Tyler, then you and Marisol and Priscilla, y'all would file that person's death record. If they physically die within the city of Tyler.
Well, we don't file it. We store it there. But yes, we have stored anyone who has passed within that time in the city limits of Tyler. That is correct.
Okay, so if somebody dies outside of the city limits of Tyler.
That's a county record, so it goes to the county clerks.
So for here, we'll go to Smith County.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
So, Lord willing, knock on whenever my number is called by the Lord, if I'm in Chapel Hill or mm-hmm. if I'm in Noonday or Lindale and I pass, then my immediate family, they would go to the Smith County
Registrar's Office.
The clerk's office.
Mm-hmm. If it was recorded, if, you know, your time of death was recorded, wherever it was recorded, and if it's Smith County outside the city limits, then yes, it's going to go to the county clerks, Smith County clerks. Death records are always, they're different than filing a birth or trying to obtain a birth, per se.
Mm-hmm.
Those get filed within the city or the county where they passed.
Okay. But if I were to pass in the city limits of Tyler, say like if I'm driving on on 110, it was 155 north going towards UT, Health East Texas, and I'm in a bad traffic accident. I'm in the city limits on 155 South, then it would be
with us. Mm-hmm.
But if I continued on 155 where I'm outside the city limits,
then it's going to go to the county.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. So,
it's not a comfortable situation to talk about, to think about.
No. But I mean, hey, if it were to happen, now you know.
Yeah. And I brought this up in a presentation that I did a few months ago, and I don't know if I'd mentioned this to you, but I actually had one of those social media deep thought, random comic ideas that I will never see my own death certificate, like my actual death certificate. Like you, like everybody listening, you will never see your own death certificate.
No, it'd be kind of weird, kind of scary if you did.
It's like the concept of like the brain named itself. Like yeah. Existential
how
kind
name
of
the brain the brain?
Yeah.
Who named how did the brain? It know?
Yeah, we've had people that come in and I think they kind of either mess up or they kind of either they're looking at the application and they mention death and we're like, wait, death certificate for yourself? No, birth. Yeah, you don't want to ask for a death certificate quite yet.
So everybody listening, you can get your own birth certificate. You cannot and should not ever see your own death certificate.
No.
If you do, something went seriously wrong.
Yeah. No, you don't want to ask for your death certificate.
But a follow-up question, who can fill out a death certificate application for a family member?
It has to be immediate family members, a spouse, a brother, sister, grandparent, by blood or marriage. A grandchild cannot, cousins cannot, uncles, aunts cannot.
So if you're immediate family member, you can.
Mm-hmm. There's you know, exceptions. Like, it's your ex-wife, you're not married anymore, you know, but you need one because, I don't know, insurance policy,
mm-hmm.
you know. You can request it, but you have to provide those documents. You have to bring those documents with you. You know, you have to show us, you know, prove. Your name has to be listed. You know, stuff like that. Then there's exceptions with documentation, of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because looking at the actual application for doing a death record, and that's kind of another question. Do y'all say death record or death certificate? Because me going back to 90s hip hop, Ice Cube.
Death records.
Death records.
Well, there was Death Row Records.
Death Row Records.
But then Ice Cube had an album called Death Certificate. So I'm just out of curiosity. Is the proper term, is it death record or death certificate as far as the actual document that you get? That's your.
It's a death certificate. It says certificate.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, I think we call it either or.
It's interchangeable.
Yeah. You know, I catch myself saying death record or death certificate. So, I mean, but it's a certificate, so it should be death certificate.
Okay. So, doing the application to get a death certificate, it has a line where it asks what's the main purpose of getting this record, and there's, like you mentioned, for insurance reasons,
mm-hmm.
Another reason for closing accounts,
mm-hmm.
and... So I recently had a family member who lost her mother.
Mm-hmm.
So closing accounts, this is utility bills?
Utilities, bank accounts, loans, anything like that. Any kind of mm-hmm. joint account that you had where you were both listed, then okay. you have to bring, say if the water company is asking for one to... you know, shut it down, transfer the name, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
then they have to provide you with a document, something saying, you know, or at least by showing that the bill has both of y'all's names, then bring that, and then, you know, we can take that as proof of it.
So you're saying that the statistics of this person's life are vital to many areas.
Yeah.
Somebody's life that mm-hmm. you wouldn't even think of.
Yeah.
Now, I was thinking about the term vital stats. So checking somebody's vitals, you know, somebody, it's the things that are concretely important, whether, because when they say check this person's vitals, it's mm-hmm. like they're either alive or they're mm-hmm. dead. Mm-hmm. It's like whatever, literally. Whatever this EKG or whatever the machine is reading is vital to whether know mm-hmm. whether you know if this person's still alive mm-hmm. or not. So the statistics of these people's lives are vital to being able to close accounts. So it's like I was just thinking about the terminology of why it's called vital statistics.
So yeah, so everybody listening, at least internally, if you're a health department employee, not just here for NetHealth, but health departments across the state where it's termed vital statistics. Your department, Rosie, is vital statistics. But even before I started working at NetHealth, I didn't know your department is titled as vital statistics. I knew y'all as, well, that's where I would go to get my birth certificate or to get a death certificate. So for everybody that's not in the health department frame of mind, you would think birth certificates, death certificates. But for us in the health department world, we'll more commonly say vital statistics is the vital statistics department.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the language may sound a little different. Like if somebody calls and, like if they were to call my phone number and they say, well, where do I go to get a birth certificate? Well, you would contact our vital statistics department.
In some areas, call it birth and death records.
Yeah, some would say birth and death records.
Mm-hmm. Some websites
some call
have
it just the Hall of Records.
Really? That's one
mm-hmm. I heard. The Hall of Records.
And yeah, out in California, you go to the Hall of Records to get your marriage license, your birth certificate.
Is the Justice League there? That sounds like that's an official, like that's like a regal title to it, the Hall of Records.
Yeah.
Like after you say it, you got to pause a bit.
Yeah.
I was used to that. And then when vital statistics, it's like, what?
What is that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That comes to show, again, we've mentioned this kind of theme across just public health in general, how things are different. Mm-hmm. Like just crossing into another county, crossing into mm-hmm. another state,
mm-hmm.
How it can be kind of just terminology can range, you know, and sometimes it causes confusion, you know.
Yes.
Especially people that might move from California to Texas. Mm-hmm. Like, well, y'all do things differently over here.
Now, there's another death certificate situation that I've encountered receiving phone calls where it's an immediate relative, and even funeral homes may call my phone number at times where they want to do a transit or transfer application.
A burial transit permit?
A burial transfer permit to where the person, their family may live in Dallas or Shreveport or a different city outside of Smith County, outside of Tyler, and they're wanting to have that person buried in mm-hmm. Dallas or Houston, Austin, wherever it may be. So I was surprised receiving calls like that because it shows the statewide impact that you and your coworkers, shout out to Marisol and Priscilla, that the variety of calls that, the variety of situations that you have to encounter on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only assuming every day is different.
Yes.
on what y'all get, but if for those that are listening that you live in a different city, like you live outside of Tyler and you have a relative that dies in Tyler, they wouldn't have to be buried in Tyler. They could be buried wherever.
Wherever. Mm-hmm.
But that would be a form of application that would need to be completed.
We have funeral homes that are requesting some because families want to take the deceased, you know, to another country.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I never even, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like maybe it was in their last will and testament. It's like, I want to be cremated and I want you to throw me into the Adriatic Sea.
Into the ocean or...
Wow, I never even thought
they don't
about
necessarily
that.
Have to be buried here in Tyler.
Yeah.
And some people think that because they lived here in Tyler, you know, we have the death certificate here. not understanding that it's not where they lived, it's where they passed.
Mm.
That's the determining location, is where they passed.
Where they passed.
The moment that the coroner listed this person expired at this specific time, at this specific location. And that's kind of the language of, you know, because some people say they expired or the person's passed or they've gone away.
It's a little more palatable.
They've transitioned. I don't know. Do you have a preferred way of saying that somebody has died?
Passed. I don't like to. Where did they die? I don't like to say that. I personally rather just. So where did they pass? You know, what's the location?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to ask. I don't know. It just sounds like, oh well, where'd your husband die? Like, yeah, that's too cold. I don't know. Me personally, I like to say past.
Yeah.
But see, I think that's a reflection of your personality, Rosie, that you, it's a grim subject, but you still put some positivity in that. Well, not, yeah. Positivity might not be the right word.
Just be careful how you say it, I guess. I'm just trying to not be so harsh because, yeah. They already know, yeah, my so-and-so just
there's already the finality died, of it.
You know?
Yeah, they're not
the
here
deceased.
Anymore.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
It
just sounds like too, like, I don't know.
In college, I had the opportunity to deliver flowers. It was my first job when I was at Texas State. My first semester there, I had a job delivering flowers. Shout out to the shop in San Marcos. It was a fun job. But I got to deliver.
Delivering flowers to anybody or wherever? Whatever the job called for?
Yeah, so, but I ended up delivering to a lot of cemeteries and a lot of, like casket sprays for the deceased.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish they would have warned me because I didn't understand that the body was going to be, because some would be delivering like the day of, you know, the actual funeral.
Oh.
And
so you, there were many moments you're showing up?
Yeah, like a few hours before the actual service.
Oh.
And I remember my first time, this was like my first few weeks on the job, and they were like, yeah, we need you to deliver over here to this funeral home. This was in San Marcos. And I park in the back, and there was a little entrance specifically. They had a sign on the door for people who deliver flowers. And me unknowingly walking in there with this big flower spray in my hand, and I come into the back, and I'm rounding the corner, and I see the casket. But it was like facing... You know, and I didn't know that the service was this day. So I walk around the front of this casket and the deceased is in the casket and I'm there all by myself.
The casket's open and you're walking around?
Yes.
Well, at least it wasn't during the actual funeral service itself. You're walking.
Well, that's
another, pretty close.
And well, that's another thing. We'll get to that. But but I come around the corner of this casket to put the flowers. And I see the deceased person, and I was like, man, I wish they would have told me. Like, I thought the service was going to be, like, the next day or mm-hmm. something, and I was just, like, prepping the space. And it's kind of eerie because the funeral home, all the lights are off. There's literally, like, one overhead light, like, pointing down
over
the casket. Nobody's there. You know, I'm by myself. And I was like, oh, man. And I get back in the van, and I call Gail. Shout out, Gail. I called Gail and I was like, hey, I kind of wish you would have given me a heads up.
That's on the job training right there.
Yeah. And, but there were instances, and I did let them know that I wasn't going to do this anymore. There were instances where they would call in like day of, and I'd walked in a few times where like there were already people in the seats and stuff. And I felt really disrespectful because mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know this individual.
Who the person was.
And I'm like, you know, there's this college kid walking in, you know, and, we weren't dressed like suit and tie to deliver this stuff,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt somewhat disrespectful. I was like, they had me walk in and like put this thing on the casket and there's like people in the service like is about to start, you know? And I was just like, I called them and I was like, hey, you got to make sure that it's either like, four or five
earlier
hours.
Earlier that day.
Yeah, 4 or 5 hours
or the
before.
Day before.
Or the day before. And I was not comfortable, but this goes back to paying respects to the deceased, you know? And I was like, I just didn't feel comfortable doing that. And they fixed it, you know. It's like, I mean, policy change.
They're already going through a hard time, so it's like you have to be, try to watch how you, sure. you know, how you address it, because.
Yeah. Have a little reverence for, yeah. For death in general, you know.
Yeah, we've had people with, you know, once they get it, we give them the actual record, tears start to just
sure
roll out. It's like,
oh. Yeah, still fresh wounds.
So sorry.
So unofficially, yeah. y'all are social worker, like mental health therapists, as far as like the actual, that actual moment that you've printed the death certificate and you're physically handing it to the relative coming to pick up that death certificate. I think that, I'm sure it's a, even though it's in a public lobby, it's still somewhat an intimate, private moment yes. for that person receiving yes. that actual tangible
and reminder. Some get very emotional. Some start to tell you stuff. And I mean, you have to listen, you know, we have to listen. We have to just, you know, consider, and we have to, well, I'm, you know, try to, like, sometimes you don't know what to say, but I mean, the mm-hmm. right word will come out when at the moment, you know, because it's they just start to let it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, okay. It's really hard. I mean, it isn't just, you know, fun and games. You know, it's when it comes up to that topic mm-hmm. and they come, or when some people can't get it because there's family issues going on, and it's like you're just kind of like the middle person. Like, I'm sorry, you know, I know you want your ex-spouse, or you said you're the spouse, but you're not listed, and you want the death certificate, but I mean,
ooh, now we're getting into the spicy stuff.
Yeah, that kind of popped in my head. Are there types of people that cannot, or that aren't allowed, they're legally aren't allowed to get a death certificate for somebody? Like you just mentioned, that if it's an ex-spouse.
I mean, if there's no documentation, if there's what we require is not there, then you can't get it. No matter how many times you tell me you were married and you're the spouse, you know, the drama that happens outside of that, because his kids, you know, didn't like you, her kids didn't like you, and they didn't list you as a spouse, because that's the most common thing.
Or like in the will, it's like you're trying to get these,
yeah,
these funds yeah. or something like that. Mm-hmm. And this is required. And
but a lot of the times it's that. It's like, you know, whoever was the informant to the funeral home, most of the time it's a child. If it's, you know, if it's an older person or, you know, someone.
Mm-hmm.
And say they didn't like that new spouse. They didn't list them. They list them as not married or divorced or widowed or, you know, whatever else the case was, but not married. So
you could have one customer where you have to do the gentle bereavement moment, and then your next customer for a death certificate, it could become a daytime talk show.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Yes.
shift gears really quickly. It's like Jerry Springer. Like
Jerry. Yes. Jerry. Yeah.
Well, yeah. What do you mean? I'm not listed. I am the spouse, and his son didn't like me, or the daughter didn't like me. And it's like, I'm sorry, you know,
yeah.
that's a personal problem y'all have to take care of, because if you're not listed as a spouse, unless you bring me, you know, social security papers, if there's something going on that's addressed to you, insurance, mm-hmm. if he left anything or she, you know, bring me that. And then, hey, you're more than welcome to get it.
If this isn't, like, for all y'all listening, if this isn't a PSA for you to get your affairs in order, because you never know, mm-hmm. you never know mm-hmm. when it's your time.
And to tell your family how much you love them and to make sure everything is on the up and up when it's time
yeah.
for your immediate family to come yeah. to get your death certificate.
Yeah.
There's no situations, there's no issues.
You don't want siblings fighting over this, because
that's heartbreaking.
Some are trying to claim stuff. Some are not. They're fighting over this and that. They don't want me to get this. That's why I can't get the death certificate. And,
it's salacious now. This is my popcorn out.
It's really sad. It's sad that a lot of times for, you know, they say, you know, it's kind of a story as old as time, right? People come out of the woodworks mm-hmm. when death comes, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And it's sad that, like, for say the children or people in these people's families aren't invested until there's something on the table too.
Exactly.
It's
yeah.
like Oh, man.
Then you want to get involved.
That's heartbreaking.
Yes,
man.
Yes. And we have that a lot, too. And the only reason how we kind of put one and one together is because they don't know for sure where they passed. You know, here we have a child. You know, they don't know for sure where they passed. They don't know the date. All they heard is that they passed. Oh, so then that means that comes to tell me that you were not involved in your parents' life. But now, all of a sudden, you want a death certificate. For what?
It's like the devil's in the details. It's like, man, you don't know anything about what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're just here to collect a...
Collect something.
Yeah, collect something.
Mm-hmm. Man. That is really sad. Those are very sad moments.
Yeah, Rosie, the stories you could tell.
I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. Please, I don't ever want to be in one of those.
Yeah.
Never.
But
yeah.
If your department could be embodied by a movie, then it would be The Lion King. Because the circle of life, because of death certificates and
inheriting
birth certificates,
a kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Inheriting the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Everything the light everything touches.
That's what I was going to get.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will one day be yours.
Yeah. Unless you're not listed on my.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. People die, people live every day.
So the types of interactions that you have for individuals that are coming to receive a death certificate for an immediate family member, it's the same. I'm assuming some of the same emotions for a parent or a sibling, a daughter, son coming to get a birth certificate. Now, is that the same eligibility? You have to be an immediate relative to to get your birth certificate or to get somebody else's birth certificate?
Same thing.
Same
you
thing.
Have to be, you know, an immediate family member. Qualified. Mm-hmm.
So,
qualified applicant.
So you can get your own birth certificate.
Yes. You can get your child's, no matter if your child is 30, 40, because we have that question a lot. Well, my son is already 18, 20, 21. That's still your child. Yeah. Come and get it.
Yeah.
Now, I have learned there's a short form and a long form. So there are two different types.
We don't call them that anymore.
No?
No.
That has changed?
That's changed. So there was a short, which is now a standard. But it was short because it was half sheet. Now it's not. Everything is one same full size sheet.
It's like a letter size, 8.5 mm-hmm. by 11.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now it's a standard format. And then there's the detailed birth certificate.
So what's
the same size? It's just probably one holds more information than the
yes.
other.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So what's on the detailed version that's not on the standard
the
version?
The detailed one is always going to have, of course, you know, your information, the parent's date of birth, the hospital information, like the name of the hospital, the time of birth, not your weight, because that's a medical record, is the time of birth. And then, of course, the doctor who signed off on it and stuff like that.
Okay.
So by them putting the weight on there, that would be like a HIPAA violation, huh? Because
yes.
it's like...
That's
not,
medical records.
It's like, I don't want you to know how chunky I was when I was born.
And some of our older birth certificates have that information.
I was premature, so I was a little bitty.
I was a little baby too. I was a 5-pound something baby.
Yeah.
I was a little bitty. My mom says I fit in a shoebox.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know. That's what she says. She tried to put me in a shoebox for whatever reason. Probably. I don't know.
Like, this maybe is your new crib.
Maybe there's, because what, I was so little. She's like, let me see if she fits in a shoebox.
Well, there has to be a way to know that you can say a phrase like that. Like, you can fit in a shoebox. Like,
she
did you try to put me in a
shoebox? She tried it because I was
you
so
asked,
little.
Have you asked her that?
Like, no.
Well, hey,
next
family meal. You know,
or
just want to call mom about
do
the
you loo? Say that I can actually fit in a shoebox?
It's funny how what people use to compare. Like, some people be like, oh, he was no bigger than a loaf of bread or
yeah.
a little sack
like,
of potatoes.
Did you put a loaf of bread right next to
a little sack
me?
Of potatoes or that. You know, it's just funny. Everybody has a different
yeah.
a different term.
The shoebox. Okay.
But short form, long form.
Yes.
I recently visited you guys. That was actually like, I think that was earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
I had to come in and get the form. I forget what I was getting updated. It could have been my driver's license or something. But for the longest time, my mom had that document, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until, like, after college when I moved up here that I was like, I need physical copies of all this stuff, you know. Yeah. It's like you get at that age where it's like for the longest you go to your parent for this stuff. It's like, hey, what's this? What's this? What's this? You know, mm-hmm. you got a copy of this or can I scan this? And then eventually it was like, I got to get my own copies.
Like, time you got to get it yourself?
Yeah, I got to get mm-hmm. my own copies of this stuff to have it, you know, readily same. Available.
Mm-hmm.
But
so with yeah. the eligibility of why you need to get a birth certificate, or a few different or the few things that are different than what's listed on the death certificate form as far as you know, my youngest daughter just graduated high school, so she can get her own birth certificate now mm-hmm. that she's 18.
Mm-hmm.
She can get it herself.
She could get it. I mean, she could have gotten it too when she was 17, 17? 16, as long as she meets the ID requirements.
Okay. I know common reasons for school-related, enrolling mm-hmm. into school,
mm-hmm.
For sports.
Sports require a birth certificate. Housing, special programs that are out there that require you have a birth certificate, passport, you know.
So if you are needing to renew your passport, do you need to have an updated copy of your birth certificate?
Mm-hmm. You're going to need one to submit for your driver's license renewal. A lot mm-hmm. of people don't know that. Prepare. They will ask you for it. So if you're about to renew your driver's license, make sure you have your certified.
Can't be a copy.
Copy of your birth certificate.
Okay, wait. Okay. So copy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just a regular throw it in a machine and scan it?
Yes.
Or, okay.
It's got to be a certified copy, just a regular copy.
So what makes it a certified copy?
It's got to be on security paper.
Oh, yeah. So when you scan it, The watermarks pop mm-hmm. out. Yeah, when the light hits it the right mm-hmm. way and all that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I bring up that specific topic because the vital statistic of having a birth certificate, you need a birth certificate for a lot of things mm-hmm. just in life, period.
Mm-hmm.
So the importance of you and Marisol and Priscilla, y'all affect a lot of people's lives every single day. Like just the normal day-to-day operation of somebody coming in and getting a birth certificate, you may not realize how important that document is for whatever you're going to need.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not that day, but within that year, next 2 years or 3 years or whenever you're going to need to be asked,
yeah.
like, do you have a birth certificate? Man, where is my birth certificate? And then there's that paranoia kind of comes in. Well, I don't know where I got my birth certificate. Like, where do I go to get a birth certificate if I need one? Well, you come to 815 North Broadway, Tyler, Texas, 75702, mm-hmm. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. 8 to 5 p.m. I have that committed to memory.
Yes.
And that
903-535-0031.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Shall I continue?
Continue. Go on.
We're at the corner of North Broadway Avenue and Gentry Parkway. Rosie
next
and
door
her
neighbors to Salvation Army.
Yeah.
And actually, it's funny, but it's not funny when I've explained it to in doing community presentations where I'll give the street address and then I'll say, or they're located next to the Tyler Municipal Court. Oh, I know where that is.
Uh-huh.
And they say, I know where the municipal court is, almost with pride.
Yeah.
Why didn't you say that at first? Yeah, I know exactly where that is.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people are like visual, you know, landmarks. It's like, don't give me numbers and names of streets. Give me landmarks.
It's like everybody's been to the municipal court, so.
Yeah.
It's like being an adult going to the municipal court is the same nostalgic memory of being a kid going to the zoo or going on a field trip. It's almost it's like you know, mm-hmm. you go to municipal court to pay a speeding ticket or a parking fine you have or for city jury duty. You know,
you're not. That's
it's
not,
one of those places where you. It's almost like a rite of passage. Being
I was
going
to say, I didn't know if you were throwing shade at them, being like you comparing them to animals, like they're like like at the zoo.
Or it's if it's a field trip to the park or but people like you're saying landmarks, people know if you give them a point of reference, like
sure.
we're Like I could say, our vital statistics department is two blocks down from the Goodman Museum, or we're it's like a we're around the corner from the Super One on Beckham. It's like it's kind of close enough, but like, just municipal quarters, like immediate. Like I can say, like I said, Salvation Army a few times of people, and like, where's Salvation Army at? It's on the other side of the street from the municipal court. Oh, okay, I know where it is now.
Yeah.
Or by, just, the, by the Moore's Grocery Lofts. It's like we're right up the street from... I feel like that's a... Most people know where that's at. Nah, probably not.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Well, yeah. well, some do, some don't. And then you have the generation of Tyler, Smith County residents. They'll remember what used to be at that location.
Right.
It's like...
Things change.
It's like our your offices... It used to be a grocery store before... It became a health department.
See, I was shocked back when I heard that.
So you got to say what it is and then what it used to be. you got to explain for both.
Depending on what generation.
What year were you born? Yeah, what year were you born? It used to be this. Now it's this.
And now it's, oh, okay, I know where that is now.
That's how we have to describe other, when we have to send someone to the county, when they can't get their detail done with us. And it's like, okay, the annex building.
Like, where's that?
Where's that at? Behind Catty Corner, behind the main courthouse. Which one? Downtown. The main courthouse. The old JCPenney building? Oh, okay. You say old JCPenney building, and it's like
immediate.
They got it. I never knew it was an old JCPenney building until I heard it.
I just learned that piece of information. I did not know that.
Yeah. It was an old JCPenney.
Mm-hmm. So to go back to the, I guess, the eligibility, or not eligibility, but the... Where you're born. So if you're born within City of Tyler, then a person would come to your office.
If they want a detailed birth certificate, then that's where you get your detailed birth certificate.
Now, if they're born in Smith County.
Then they would have to go to the Smith County clerks.
Okay, so same thing if they're born in...
But that's only if they want their detailed. Because if they're okay with the standard birth certificate, then we can provide a standard birth certificate for anywhere in Texas. As long as we have, it was entered in the, you know, on the remote site.
In the state registry.
The state registry, yes. Then, and we have access to it, then we can provide them with the standard.
Okay, I didn't see it. I just learned something new now. So if you're born anywhere in Texas, you can get a standard
birth certificate
from... Our vital statistics office at 815 North Broadway.
because it is housed in a database. You know, I have access to that database. So aside from the physical records that are housed, but that the physical records that are housed at 815 is a living library. Because y'all are still punching in. Y'all still have physical records that you'll have to print
that
out.
That we have to print out.
For new births and new deaths. So that library is still growing.
It's definitely growing.
But y'all have a digital library that you retrieve.
From the state.
From the state. Okay.
That's the access that we have from the state.
Gotcha.
Now, the detailed birth certificate that you mentioned, if you're born within the city limits of Tyler, a person would get it from your office. If they're... born outside of Tyler, if they're born in Smith County, then they would go to the county clerk.
The county clerks.
If they're born in Texas but outside of Smith County, how would they get their birth certificate?
In Texas?
If they're born in Texas but outside of Smith County.
And they need the detailed?
And they want the detailed one.
Well, they have to contact the county where they were born. Either their county clerk's office or if there's like a city hall, every city, every county is going to be different to whatever the kind of department they have.
Going back to what Thomas alluded to earlier from our previous podcast, where what we provide for Tyler and Smith County, maybe you may need to get that same service, but in a different way from a different county.
It's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing with public health. It can vary for your given situation and scenario, unfortunately.
Now, if it's somebody like we were talking earlier, somebody that's California, for example, or from another state, because I've received calls from people like that. How can they get their birth certificate? So, what?
They contact the state vital statistics where they were born, or if they know the county, we usually always recommend that they contact their county clerks, because it's probably going to be easier to get it from their county clerks
in that state where they were born,
mm-hmm. rather than the state itself.
You know what my response would be? Google it. No, I'm just
that's how we solve everything.
That's what we kind of want to say sometimes, because it's like, how did you Google our information, or how did you find us? I'm sure you Googled us. So Google the rest. We can't say that.
Yeah.
So I know there are other situations to where a parent will do a home birth.
Mm-hmm.
So if the mom delivers her baby at home, she lives outside of Tyler within Smith County, that will go to the
county
clerk's office.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The form itself I'm looking at, it's so let's say somebody gives birth today.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a set number of days by when somebody has to file a birth certificate for their child?
Within 7 days, it should be filed.
So within a week.
Should.
You're emphasizing should. They don't have to. It's okay if it's more than 7 days. It's preferred if it's 7 days or less.
I mean, it's not going to hurt, you know, so that the parent doesn't get all worked up about it, you know. But it should mm-hmm. be. It should be. It doesn't happen like that all the time.
So like, what about those parents? They don't know what to name their kid yet, and it gets to day five, day six, seven.
Say if it was a hospital birth, we've had that happen, you know. So there's baby so-and-so, baby Mesa, baby Garcia, baby or infant of, you know, until the parent decides. And whatever, if it's got to get filed, it's going to get filed.
Oh, so y'all are right in that's a temporary name?
That's what it gets filed under, until the parent, you know, goes back to getting that taken care of. But by then, now, it's going to require some kind of court order, because it's already left the hospital. It's already gotten filed to the state. It's already in our little room. So we have a birth certificate with baby so-and-so.
So it's as if they're given a name by default.
It's like if they were probably didn't want to be given.
Oh.
Do you by any chance, I don't know, have like an average of how many babies are born in Smith County or anything
gosh.
Like that? Do y'all have any numbers like that?
I mean, I can just give you a number about how many we get within a month, and that kind of, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they were born that
right
month.
Let's hear it.
So, say within a month of new babies, 300 and something, 200 and something.
Wow.
But, it's a pretty big number.
So, same question, but for death certificates.
Mm-hmm.
Does the average number of births
kind of goes hand in hand.
Equal
than
the average number of deaths? Like, do we have a...
Sometimes we get more death.
Is our population growing, or is our population decreasing on average?
I honestly feel like it goes hand in hand, to be honest, because it's rare where one of us is receiving more than the other. But it's, I mean, in a month, maybe 1 month, it could be that we got 400 and something death certificates. We got 300 and something births. So we're off a little, you know? Mm-hmm. More are gone, but... There's times where we get more births than deaths.
Well, depending on what time of day I'm driving along South Broadway or the Loop, it seems like there's more births.
There's a lot more births. Like when COVID hit, I mean, yeah, there was a lot of deaths,
mm-hmm.
but there was a lot of births too.
Baby making?
Yes.
People were at home?
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a lot of births.
So
studies were shown.
So the pandemic started, I remember... Thomas and I, we've talked about this over the last, you know, it's kind of sobering. It's been more than 4 years now since the pandemic started.
Wow.
Wow. Just let that sink in, everybody. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's been a lot longer than 4 years. It was only 4 years, but I remember when it started, it was mid-March of 2020 when everything shut down, and it was like we're living a scene from The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. Empty streets everywhere. So
pretty scary.
I was thinking of people being at home. 9 months after March, that goes into December 2020, January 2021, mm-hmm. February 2021. I don't know if there was a boom in the number of births that occurred because of when the pandemic started. But let's say 5, 10, 15 years from now, maybe we'll see it in the school enrollment numbers. If there are more students at school districts based on whatever age they would be. So if that was 2021, so now these would be 3-year-olds. And here we are in 2024. So in 2-3 years, it'd be interesting if there are going to be a larger number of kids enrolling into pre-K, kindergarten, first grade, just to see, you know, how there was the baby boomer generation after World War II.
And we might not even see it because there's a lot of kids that are actually staying home for homeschooling now. That's changed a lot. So
they say that it wouldn't be called a boom. I was just looking it up here, but maybe a baby burst.
A burst,
just like
not a boom.
A little uptick, maybe.
Burst of 2020.
And they're still doing
2021.
They're still doing studies on this, like whether like domestic violence went up because people were forced to be at home with their spouses more, you know, mm-hmm. and frustration, you know, tension and things like that.
I'm sure there was a lot of that.
Yeah. So it's like they've been doing a lot of different
child,
studies.
Your spousal abuse, child abuse.
Yeah.
The being in close proximity on a continual basis has effects on a person's psyche, whether it's a parent-child dynamic or if it's a spouse dynamic or if it's a multi-generational family dynamic or if it's people sharing a living space. Just we're not going to really see that until 5 years, 10 years from now.
It's like the caveman had to go out and hunt. He's like, no, I got to stay home. <He's> like, I had a break, you know? It's like,
had a break.
There's a wrench been thrown in the machine. Now I got to stay at home with you all day now.
I bet there was a lot of family bonding too.
I think it caused a lot of people to reconsider and prioritize some things. You mm-hmm. know, it's like, oh, it's actually kind of sobering. I got plenty of time with my family now, you mm-hmm. know? And it's like, I actually kind of like this, mm-hmm. you know? It's
like, Terrence is like, I'm not bothered.
He's like, he's like,
well, no, I'm not looking down on the conversation. I'm still looking over at the application for the birth certificate. That another perk is that you can ask for a protective sleeve.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which not everybody may think about until.
Which I paid for. I paid. What's the price difference? Wasn't like.
A dollar,
yeah. I paid the extra dollar, got that nice, thick. It's not cheap plastic. It's like a nice.
It's durable plastic. And mm-hmm. the reason I bring it up is that when you have, when I had my birth certificate, I didn't have it in a plastic sleeve. I've had to buy a newer birth certificate in the last couple of years because when you have a birth certificate not in a sleeve, just having paper in a folder or in a cabinet or somewhere in your house. And
you can tell them, Terrence. You got spaghetti
on it. And you finally
found
it. No, it gets all withered and worn and discolored. That $1, comes in very handy to keep your birth certificate looking as fresh and as polished as the day you were actually born. Like, it still looks like an actual new birth certificate, like the day that you bought it. From our vital statistics department at 815 North Broadway.
Yeah.
You're welcome for that plug, Rosie.
Yeah. Y'all going to know where it's at. By the end of this episode.
It's so funny, though, because when we asked
them. But that sleeve makes a difference.
We asked them, would you like, you know, the plastic sleeve, a protective plastic sleeve? How much is that? $1. Oh, no. Okay.
It's amazing.
It's okay.
Like, it's amazing. Like a dollar. Like, dollar is a price point.
Yeah, what would have been the deciding price point for them to say yes versus no? And it's like, it's clearly not a dollar. What if I would have said 20 cents?
Yeah. And it's funny because, okay, a lot of times they say no. But then when they hear the next person and they're getting one, they'll, once you're already about to give it to them, oh, can I get that sleeve after all? Or they're actually, there's times that they walk out. And they come back in, I'll take the sleeve after all. It's like, I knew it. I knew you were going to want it. You could have just said yes from the get-go.
He spilled a little coffee on it when he got in the car. And he's like,
ah. Or when it's raining, it's like, you're really not going to want it. You're going to get it all wet. But hey, come back. Just buy another birth certificate.
Yeah.
So how often does it happen? Like you mentioned, somebody, they get their certificate but not have the sleeve on it. And then they walk out and they come back in a minute or two later or later that day.
Every day.
It's gonna be one of those experiences. They come back the next day with a soggy, mushy piece of paper in their hand.
But can I get that sleeve?
Mm-hmm. It's every day. Can you
print me another one? They gotta get the whole new. Yeah, just print me another one.
It's like when you say, "I told you, I told you."
But you can't say that. You don't want to say it too long,
but that's a good segue because the physical records, and I always thought this was really cool. This was kind of one of the things that kind of blew me away when I first got to visit Vital Stats as an intern. The physical records, opening up some of those old books and seeing just how old some of that paper is.
So what's the oldest birth certificate that y'all have in this new term that Thomas has just introduced? I didn't really think about in the living library.
Yeah.
1884.
Yeah.
We have some that are like, they're like in a little, it looks like a little flash card. Yeah. It's just a small little thing like that.
And I mean, it doesn't transition well over audio, but like if I could show some of this paper, man, it's like, it's just, it's almost like if you'd blow on it, it would deteriorate. It's
yeah.
Like, and it's just going to turn to dust.
And some of the copies, since, you know, we have to get this paper. Some of it comes like in, it looks like a charcoal paper, depending on the year. And the writing is like in white.
Interesting.
So when we have to make copies, you know, of these onto the certified, you know, paper, it just doesn't come out so. It
doesn't transfer well.
No. So then we get, you know, people that will question. It's like, well, why is it like that? Well, I mean, it's because the type of paper that the original. Like,
let me show you the original real fast, and then you can ask me that question again.
And then some of them will, you know, they'll make a joke. Oh, it's because I'm old, huh? It's like, I didn't say that, but you mean if you want to put it that way. they just, you know, they crack jokes.
Like, you're not old. You're an experienced citizen.
I'll just straight up say, I didn't say that. I didn't call you old. It's just, you know, that's how it was.
That's crazy to think about. Their record is as old as they are.
So theoretically, so you're saying this is back from 1884. So just doing the quick math, that's 140 years from.
And we have very few that are from, you know, like literally very few from those specific years within, you know, maybe like one from 84, you know, one from two from 85. You know, it's not like the other big books that you see.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very. Very, very few.
So an older individual, say, if they want to come and get a birth certificate of their parent, could they do that?
Mm-hmm.
So if,
we have a lot of children that come ask for their parents' birth certificates.
And they could get it if their parent was born in the city of Tyler.
And if it was filed, because and years ago it was not required to file. So sometimes we won't have it.
Okay.
Sometimes there's no existing record of theirs.
Did that recently get updated where every birth you have to have it filed? Or, you know, there were some years where there were,
I'm sure they didn't have it filed. It's been for some years now. I don't know, you know, I've never been told since when, but I know it's been a requirement for a while.
And so the birth certificate, the oldest one that you have, is from 1884. How far back do the death certificates
1910.
Go?
1910? Yeah, 1910.
For if it was recorded that the person died within
the city
of Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Back to 1910. It's That is a living library.
Yeah, well, I think people sometimes forget how important not only like literature, but this is like medical records, you know, and for us to get a better snippet of history, you know, and how vital, you know, scribes were, people who, because you're basically in the business of record keeping. I mean, mm-hmm. you talk about people who.
This is journaling.
Yeah, and it's like that was, we know what we know today because some people took the time a long time ago to record historical events, you know. People mm-hmm. were just like, well, maybe somebody should write this stuff down. Maybe we should look
I might want to know this one day.
Yeah. yeah. Like,
or want my kids to know what happened.
Storytelling. Mm-hmm. You know, this it's part of our humanity, you know. We're in the, you know, humans are in the business of storytelling. You know, you tell your kids about, you know, what happened or whatnot. You know, but this kind of transitions over to how these people died. You know, that's recorded in there.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the interesting
The listed causes of yeah. death?
We have it all. We have natural causes. We have accidents, trauma type of situations.
Does it say in detail, like, if a person was, like, beheaded by accident?
Yeah.
Dang, that's wild.
We've had, yeah.
Like decapitation, you know?
We've actually, well, I don't think I've actually seen a decapitation, but I've seen one where they were asphyxiation.
Oh, asphyxia. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like literally found with their head in a bag.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It'll state.
So I have two rabbit holes I'm going to go down with that answer, with the asphyxiation. So Smith County has a high suicide rate
mm-hmm.
compared to the state average of people that commit suicide. If somebody does commit suicide, is it listed on their death certificate as suicide? Do they say it just blatantly just suicide, or do they say it in?
Because I mean, it has a section where it's like suicide, accident, you know, and so they have to check one of those options.
Some of the older ones, though, the format probably changed at some point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the older ones, I think you had mentioned one time we were talking about it, and you said that you could see where like they scratched it out, or maybe mm-hmm. it changed. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they got some more information regarding the
and they fixed it.
They
use more medical terminology. Rather than just, fell off the ladder and just, you know, busted his head open.
And it was like contusion to brain or something.
Some of the older ones are, we have the big books. Remember the big books on the top shelf? Those were just like, bleh.
And it was like, it was like being in where Tyson was like, he was going down yonder and fell in their hole.
Yeah, it was, it's just, you know, died of throwing up a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's like died of, you know, just, you know, not using like
medical terms,
sure. You know, just fell off.
And, now, it's been a while since I've looked, you know, in the books of the death certificates. And I remember some where it said their cause of death was gangrene, which isn't, I mean, it's a serious condition even nowadays, but I'm thinking something like gangrene would legitimately kill somebody back in the early 1900s.
Or just basic hygiene. It was like, if you didn't take care of some of this stuff, mm-hmm. it'd creep up on you back then.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to our CEO, George Roberts. I know when he does presentations, he'll list the major causes of death back from 1900 and causes of death in the modern time. And back in 1900, a common cause of death was diarrhea. Mm-hmm. And even me as a 46-year-old guy, kind of taking that in, man, you use the bathroom so much that
you died.
That you died?
He passed because of the bubble guts.
He passed because he passed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's one way of putting it.
But then the way it was explained to me, and as I've given presentations, it's funny how people will just pinpoint to that one specific word when you see it on a slide, on a presentation. It's because the person became dehydrated.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it was recorded was mm-hmm. diarrhea. So back in the early 1900s, dehydration wasn't a known
association,
health condition, a known situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was diarrhea. But that's just the way that modern knowledge yeah. has been able to update how deaths are listed, like you just mentioned. But it's still just kind of sobering
to think. You probably won't die of diabetes. You probably are more likely to die because of, you know, certain things that hit with.
Yeah, are associated
that
with.
That are because you have diabetes. Because,
yeah.
And it's like, for example, like somebody with HIV, they don't mm-hmm. die. They die because their T count is so low that they can't fight off something like a common cold.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't necessarily die specifically from it. Mm-hmm. It's from a symptom that comes along with mm-hmm. the illness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then it becomes a situation, how far does somebody track back to what the actual cause of death is? Because these death certificates, they are stories. So going back to 1910, I don't know if you have a count of how many listed recorded deaths there are. Like if it's thousands, if it's hundreds of thousands. But
a lot.
But all of those.
I don't have an actual number.
But it's like each individual death certificate tells an individual specific story about
mm-hmm.
that every individual person that died within Smith County. It's almost, it's like if you could pick up that death certificate and learn about that person's life by seeing, holding their death certificate, that there's a,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, there's so many puns I can go in with this. Like the volume of history.
When you get a death certificate and you look at it. It's, you know, you see the.
It says a lot.
The cause and, you know, or other secondary, you know, conditions and stuff like that. So, and then you look at their age and it's like, wow.
Yeah, some of it can be pretty sobering, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Like, you see the age and you're like, man, this person's significantly, you know, mm-hmm. a young person, mm-hmm. you know, and you're like, oh, man. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's a pretty sobering. It can be very sobering going.
And
through.
Then, of course, we also get, you know, kids, infants, sure. toddlers.
Yeah.
You know, drowning and, you know, stuff like that. Accidents.
Yeah.
Those to me, I think, are the hardest to have to take in.
You go home and hug your babies.
It's like,
you know, after you read those, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Abuse, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Neglect or.
Mm.
Yeah. Those are the harder ones. Or when you get a new birth certificate, a newborn, and then just a few hours later, there's the death certificate filed.
For that same baby, we'll say infant.
Yeah, the little newborn. Didn't make it.
Yeah, I was going to ask that earlier. I was thinking about, I'm glad y'all brought that up, like how that is handled, you know, a newborn who, yeah, maybe didn't make it through the night, you know, or
as long as there's, you know, some kind of sign of life,
sure.
You know, one breath,
uh-huh.
there's got to be a birth and a death certificate filed.
Gotcha.
One breath it takes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So how many years have you been a NetHealth employee?
Six.
For 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what would Rosie from 2024 tell Rosie from 2018 of when that Rosie started working in the vital statistics department? Like what knowledge have you gained as an employee, now as a department director, of the value that your department provides to the residents of Tyler, Smith County, to East Texas? Because you and I and your staff, we get calls, like we mentioned before, like it's just a random person may be calling
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that lives here in Tyler, or they live outside of Tyler, or they live in another part of the state, or they live outside of Texas.
Yeah, in Mexico too. We get calls from Mexico, other countries. Mm-hmm.
Is anything surprising anymore?
Not anymore. Not anymore. I mean, at the beginning, yeah. I mean, I would even question, like, wait, why are they calling for this? Or, you know, do they not know, you know, how things work, you know, the different states, blah, blah, blah. But now it's like, no. Now, I mean, being this, I've been there this long already, so it's like, nothing faces me anymore. I just, it's like, we get it all. We get it all. So, I mean, I've learned a lot. I was not in, this to me was like so new, you know, because I come from medical field, so I just wanted to change. So I'm like, okay, well, let's see. You know, I know nothing about this, but I'm sure it's not that difficult. And it was interesting to actually, you know, receive birth, like birth certificates. Ooh, new babies, you know. And then later on in time when you start meeting people and then now you know so-and-so here in Tyler, and then it's like, oh, their birth certificate, their baby's birth certificate, you know. But then again, you know, you also get your friend's death certificates. Mm. So it's like family members' death certificates. And it's like, you know, I have in our little room, I have, you know, friend's death certificates. And it's like, that's kind of sad, you know. But it's, I mean, in all overall, it's interesting. It's interesting. You kind of learn a lot from people you work with, from people you talk to, from customers, from everything in general, everything. Like all the drama that we have to deal with, like, oh, shoot, I better make sure I, like you said, leave everything in writing thoroughly. Like, I don't want my kids ever to fight over nothing, you know?
Sure.
So make sure I leave this in writing, make sure, you know, I mean, I don't have riches to leave my children, but anything, any little thing, I don't want them to fight over nothing.
Sure.
You know, their relationship to just get into this war zone because, oh, I'm trying to claim mom's this, I'm trying to claim dad's this. Make sure everything is done right to avoid all these things, because we see it all, and it's pretty sad.
Now you're getting into making a will.
Yeah, you learn a lot, honestly. You learn a lot when you
or
when
who you want to be things. Your power of attorney, medical power of attorney.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, though, and I think you're kind of touching on the point because you're asking Rosie, what have you learned?
Mm-hmm.
And you saying that you don't want your children to be fighting over the trivial things, the temporal things that are here and gone. And
go through what all these other people go through.
Sure.
That I see.
And it's like, I don't want this to be a repeat of events of what I see on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
And the perishable things versus the imperishable things. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you have each other, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
That's sobering.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't think my kids would do that. But hey, at the end of the day, you don't know, you know, and even if they're not going to do that, you want to make sure that it doesn't get to that. And at least everything is done right so that there's that peace. You know, when you lose somebody, you don't need all that extra stuff to go with it. Just finish everything smoothly. Just let it go. And then just
it's like
move
the passing of a loved one is enough of a weight to experience in and of itself, definitely. Let alone drama that needs to be stacked on top of
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You know, to make it that much more of a bitter moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like.
And honestly, I see that with births too. Like, ladies, you know, if you had a child with somebody, just disregard the drama and list them on the birth certificate, because then there's more drama when they're trying to, you know, either add them later on a birth certificate because, oh, I changed my mind. Now I think I'm in good terms with the dad. Let me just figure out what to do and add them to the birth certificate. Then there's issues there. You know, then the dad comes and then he can't get a birth certificate because he's not listed. And then we got to tell him, we got to be the ones with the bad news. Guess what? You're not listed.
So if he's not listed,
he can't get it.
He can't get a...
Unless there's a court order.
Interesting.
And then
Rosie,
they get upset.
Our previous episode for Father's Day that we recorded recently, we were talking about the importance of having mom and dad in the home
mm-hmm.
and, you know, having both parents.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I would argue here at least I can speak for myself, we would advocate for attempting to have both parents in the home.
Let me testify with you.
Yeah.
Brother Thomas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. to have both parents, you know, to build a solid home and foundation
Multiple reasons, it makes things so much easier.
And you don't want to establish and start off, and even as something as simple as a birth certificate, to begin to split that co-responsibility. You see it start even there.
Yeah.
At the birth certificate.
We see it from day one.
Wow.
But for those situations that may occur, if they're separated or they get divorced or if it's however the child was created, if the father wasn't listed on, then there's really nothing that he could do to be able to get
If he has custody of the child, there's got to be legal documentation of that. He's got to bring his legal court paper, like court orders.
And if he has that, then
he can get a birth certificate for his child.
Mm-hmm. But otherwise,
without that, I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm sorry. I don't care if the baby has been living with you for 2 years. If you cannot provide that legal documentation,
and this would be the same for
give it to you.
This would be the same for grandparents that are
the grandparent on that the are dad's the, side,
the guardians of their grandchild.
So, if they become
the legal custodian.
They have to bring legal guardianship paperwork.
Your legal guardianship.
Mm-hmm. And say if your son is not listed as a father, and you're the grandparent, and you want to come and get it because he's not listed, you can't get it either.
Oh. The plot thickens.
Yeah. So it doesn't only affect, you know, the father of this child, but it affects the grandparents that are trying to be part of this life. You know, they can't get it.
It's almost like our decisions affect other people.
Exactly. Let's just say 100%. Mm-hmm. And it will affect this child, you know, at some point.
Yeah. Wow.
So the population census-wise for Tyler, I know it's above 100,000, whatever the actual number is. I have no idea what percentage of that 100,000 are people that are actually born in Tyler. But on a daily basis, let's just say, just for an example, Rosa, you and your staff, y'all may have 10 parents coming to do a birth certificate application, and you may have 10 people coming to do a death certificate application just on a average day. Not that those numbers are actually
half and half, or sometimes it's no deaths and all births.
I mean, literally every day is different.
Every day is different because, I mean, there's times that we see it's like, oh, we didn't issue any death certificates today. It's mainly deaths when we don't issue. But there's every day there's birth.
Every day.
Yeah.
Going back to another old school phrase, there's a sucker born every day.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Or do y'all celebrate if there's a day where y'all don't have any death certificates? Like going back to Ice Cube, like today was a good day. Nobody died. Or nobody had to file a death certificate.
They get filed. Every day they get filed. It's just we don't sell them every day. But every day there's death and birth records.
So when you say being filed, it's filed by the
state, and we got it. Like, every day there's something filed.
And y'all have to print those off and put it in the book, correct? Yeah.
Okay.
Whether it just be one that was filed, two that was filed.
And that could be filed by a coroner. It could be filed by a justice of the peace or filed by a hospital.
It gets signed off by them. But, you know, for the most part, a funeral home is who's filing these death records.
Okay. And I didn't realize there are a lot of funeral homes in in our area.
A lot.
I don't know what the number is, but like just in, here in Tyler.
Like you say, Terrence, we're number one. Yeah. Our health stats aren't the greatest here in East Texas in a lot of categories, unfortunately.
So talk about job security. Really getting the...
We joke about that, folks, every now and then.
The crematory, funeral home, mortuary. Like, I didn't realize that those are actual college degree programs you can go into. There's mortuary colleges where that you can learn how to do that for a living.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Bernie Tita in Carthage?
Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't seen the movie that Jack Black played Bernie.
Yeah. We were out that way not too long ago. But yeah, you can get a degree in, you know, whether it's even in cosmetology, like prettying up the bodies and stuff, you know. And there's a whole thing that goes into it, you know, prepping the body for the big day, for the burial.
It takes a lot, and you have to make sure you do it right.
Yeah.
If not, imagine. Ooh.
But yeah, the impact that you have on families, like, is understated with our vital statistics department that's at 815 North Broadway in Tyler, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. But like how you mentioned seeing a birth certificate and a death certificate of an infant within the same week. Or you may have a family where they're coming in to get a birth certificate and somebody from a different part of the family may be coming in to get a death certificate for somebody in that family. That may happen on the same day or the same week or within the same
or,
month.
Or, you know, a parent comes to get a birth certificate and a death certificate together.
Oh, you've had that happen also?
We've had moms come in to get a birth certificate and then a death certificate. So they fill out one of each for their newborn.
But that just alludes to the touch points that you have on families in Tyler. Like, I'm an advocate. Eventually, you need to get a key to the city.
Yeah.
One of those ceremonial, like, it may not seriously, because just think of how many people that live in Tyler that have come to you for a birth certificate or a death certificate. You've probably encountered, I don't know if you can put an actual number on it, but you've probably know, a lot of people in Tyler know you. You may not know everybody, but a lot of people know you because the importance of a birth certificate and the importance of a death certificate, you don't realize it until you actually need it.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's time to get one, they're going to be seeing you, Rosie, or Marisol, or Priscilla.
Well, they'll remember us, too, from the times where we tell them that we can't give it to them. And they're probably not happy with us.
Yeah, but they'll get over it the next day.
Well, that's
all. Or if they come back again, are they still upset? Or they like, I remember the last time I came here, you didn't let me get
We've actually had some that, you know, go back and they're still a little upset. But then there's some that come back and they're like, oh, I'm sorry for acting, you know.
Getting ugly.
Acting like for no that. Reason. I was just frustrated because DPS or, you know, it's always DPS.
They give the real reason. Like, they're just taking their anger out on you.
Yes. It's like, sorry. I mean, we need to go by these guidelines. They're state guidelines. So it's not because we're trying to be ugly. It's just.
You're just doing your job.
We're doing our job. Trying to protect your identity. They don't see it that way, though.
But
no reason to get ugly.
No, there really isn't. I mean,
over trivial things.
There really isn't.
This was an unexpected, heavy, but lighthearted topic to cover of birth certificates and death certificates.
I love this topic.
Birth records and death records. The Living Library, as I will now call it now.
Yeah. It's getting bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Soon we're going to run out of space.
Yeah.
I feel like if we, when we were talking about everything that happens there, you know, if we would have like, you know, a live cam with like a, you know, like a live show.
Turning God, it into
it'd be so
a reality TV show.
Okay, so would it be a sitcom or would it be a drama? Would it be a dramedy?
It could probably fit whatever stencil you wanted it to be.
Yeah,
there's a wide variety of conversations that happen down there, I'm sure. But Rosie, we're coming up on an hour and a half. This is probably one of our longer episodes. But this was an exciting topic. We're glad that you came and shed a little light on it. We'll probably have you back at some point. I think that'd be a good stopping point. Where can people go to find more info about Vital Stats or what it costs to get a birth or death certificate from you guys?
They can go to mynethealth.org and look for our vital statistics.
Fantastic. I'll be sure to put that link in the show notes as well, folks, for y'all to be able to get a little bit more info for you guys who live in Tyler or the surrounding area, so y'all can get plugged in and maybe even stop by and see Rosie Meza in the Vital Stats crew at 815 North Broadway.
Y'all should have this memorized by now.
Tyler, Texas, 75702. Yeah.
And next time y'all have to go to the municipal court, you can say, oh, I know where that is. That's next to the Vital Statistics office. Yeah. It's like, I'm just going to switch it.
Mm-hmm.
But as always, we appreciate y'all tuning in. Stay tuned for our next episode. We don't know who we're having on yet, but...
why don't y'all send in some topic suggestions? You can email us at castingthenet@netphd.org. We want to tell what you want to hear. So let us know what public health topics you're curious about learning more information on. If there is a specific aspect of a birth certificate and or a death certificate that you'd like to have Rosie to come back on and talk about more in the future, let us know. If you have a specific family situation that relates to birth certificates and death certificates, if you want to learn about what it's like moving from California to Texas. Actually, that's both of y'all.
true. Yeah, we both spent some time in California.
Mm-hmm.
But given the nature of the topic today and some of the events that unfold down at our Vital Stats department, I would like to end with a little quote here. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toils of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skills must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil or labor for it. It's Ecclesiastes 2. Verses 20 through 22. So the concept of people being up in arms for trivial things, and again, no reason to get bent out of shape at our Vital Stats department if things do not turn out to your favor in any given scenario.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll end with that. Be nice to Rosie. Be kind to our Rosie Meza. We care about her. She does a great job. All the ladies down at Vital Stats do a great job.
Yes.
So just be kind. Be kind, folks. We'll help you to the best of our ability, and we'll end on that.
Yep.
So thanks for tuning in again, and until next time.